Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, KFNS, 5-9TheFan.com. Thank you to Matt Rocchio for making all of our lives substantially better playing some Carly Rae Jepsen. And you think I'm joking, I'm not. So there you go. John Hadley stepped out for a moment. He's lecturing some millennial.
Nope, it's not what's happening. I can smell what's happening. He stepped out for a cigarette.
Yeah, but he's on the phone.
And again, I think
he's lecturing a millennial, and you know it.
All right, fine.
All right, so.
He's smoking a square.
Yeah, he totally is. A cigarette. And so anyway, we need to get into some Missouri basketball. A couple big things, by the way. We never have talked about the Kyler Murray news. We have not talked about the Antonio Brown news from yesterday. We have not talked about the Joe Flacco trade news. And we have not talked about that at some point we are 100% going to talk about the Mizzou Barry Odom story that is up today. I talked about that on the podcast with Eric Messersmith today if you guys want to go check that out on YouTube. And we are going to get to it here as well. But let's talk a little bit of Missouri basketball. Look, every time the team like feels like it's about to sink, they somehow start floating again. But they are barely afloat. Arkansas is not a good team. They were 14-11, I think, last night when you faced off. They're fine. And they're a feast or famine team. We were talking about this off the air. Arkansas can be really, really good if they're creating turnovers. If they're not, they're mostly worthless. And that's because they don't play good half-court defense. They play wonderful full-court press, create turnovers. And then, because they don't play great half-court defense, they're just ordinary. That also typically means they don't play great half-court offense because they get all of their offensive output off turnovers. They love layups. They want you to turn over. If any of you guys watch Mike Anderson for any extended period of time, that's how it works at Arkansas. So last night, Missouri actually did a pretty good job. And I'll tell you what, Tillman made up for lost time in a hurry, and he is, since midseason, it's not even the foul thing. Since midseason here, he is just a substantially better overall player, offensively and defensively, not only being smart, but taking advantage of things. You're watching him. Rarely does it happen in season where you watch a guy progress to a substantially better player. I think that has happened with Jeremiah Tillman. Obviously, he didn't play the game prior to this one because he had his wisdom teeth taken out in emergency, which is a very strange thing to happen. But anyway, he's back, and he looks like a significantly better player from top to bottom, offensively, defensively, and a smarter player. That is a rarity. So credit to him for working so hard. Credit to Konza Martin and whoever else has been in his ear to help him figure it out. The rest of the guys mostly are who they are. And I think last night, the guy who got you over the top, Suggs, that's kind of instructive of where you are today. When you have a walk-on who has to hit shots for you to win the game, you're just not in a great spot as a team. You know, Missouri has a 6'10 big man who was a former five-star, at least for a while, and then mostly a bunch of dudes, right? They're young dudes. Xavier Pinson is going to be a star at some point, but he's just a dude today as a freshman. These aren't like the Kentucky freshmen. These aren't like the Duke freshmen. Today, he's just a dude who we think is going to be a really good player. Javon Pickett is a pretty good player, and we're excited because he's a freshman. If he were a senior, we'd say, yeah, he's just a dude, right? Jordan Geist is fiery. And he's awesome and everybody loves him, but he's also just kind of a dude. So you got a lot of guys out there who are just sort of dudes, and they're pushing it together because they play hard and they were used to winning last year. But look, last year, if Jonte Porter and Cassius Robertson on that team, you're looking at the same group. That's not a good team last year without those two players who put you over the top. Well, you don't have either one of those players this year. So Missouri basketball is what it is right now, and you have to hope that Javon Pickett and Torrence Watson, who's starting to knock down some shots, and Xavier Pinson and Jeremiah Tillman grow up together in a hurry and become a really solid unit.
On the other side, I think if you told me this is where Javon Pickett and Xavier Pinson were going to be at this point in the season, I wouldn't care about record or anything else. I would have took that and run the other way because these guys are developing at a very quick rate, and I don't think there's anybody who expected this from either of them. And it's been incredible, and they're both showing themselves to be – honestly, the thing for me is they're both showing themselves to be good two-way players. They're trying on defense, and obviously you have to do that to get minutes from Konzo Martin, so I think that's a given, but maybe that's why we're seeing them get more minutes. But also, it's not like either of these players aren't skilled offensively as well. Pickett's a good shooter, and he's stocky. He's not going to get beat up when he takes it into the rim. And Pinson is so quick baseline to baseline.
Yeah.
He's gonna spring so many fast breaks and get many easy buckets, and he's not afraid.
And he's very crafty.
Got the athleticism
that's
to
right.
finish inside even when he takes contact. These guys are the backcourt. I mean, you're talking 2 years down the road. This is the kind of backcourt that you need to be a team that does more than just maybe barely gets into the tournament. If you have that kind of veteran backcourt, when these guys are both juniors, that's how you build.
Well,
that's how you build a team. That's how you build a winning team.
Yeah,
those are the teams that win in the playoffs.
Yeah,
or the tournament. I should
you're
say.
Missing a piece, and that's Torrence Watson. If he doesn't develop, you're not doing it with those two.
I'm only focusing on those two because Watson hasn't developed as quickly as they have. And obviously, there's a lot bigger question mark with him right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think before the season, most people would have thought a guy that's averaged 30 points a game and was committed to Ohio State and had offers to go mostly wherever he wanted, and he came back, he was going to be the guy. Nobody expected this out of Javon Pickett. People hoped Xavier Pinson would be this. He was a three-star kid from Iowa that you didn't know that much about. They're both substantially better than you thought. Torrence Watson, I don't know if he's been a disappointment. He's probably progressing at what a normal freshman would do. I would say those two are ahead, but I'd say you can't go.
He's been more exposed than he would have been, probably if Jonte's here.
Yeah, that's fair. The other two, if you don't have Torrence Watson moving forward at the same pace as these guys and Jeremiah Tillman taking a similar step forward next year that he has this year, you're going to be in trouble again next year because you're not having any more Michael Porter Jr.'s or Jonte Porter's or Cassius Robertson's roll through that door. Cassius Robertson was winning the lottery. I mean, Jonte Porter and Michael Porter Jr., that was winning the local lottery because they happened to be a part of the university because of their father, because of Robin Pinchton, who's their aunt, and because they grew up in Columbia. That you won the local lottery just based on genetics. That's what you won there. But you're not bringing in too many of those guys. And when you do miss on a guy like KJ Santos, who's not getting a ton of minutes, who's not been dominant by any means, and he is Konzo's guy, that's worrisome. You can't miss too often in basketball because when you totally whiff on a guy, you end up having seasons like this if you're not getting the – look, Kentucky can whiff on a guy because they've got three more five-stars coming in next to him. Missouri can't just whiff on guys altogether.
Can't disagree with anything you're saying. I'm just going to enjoy it because I don't know about you, but anytime we beat Arkansas on anything, for some reason I love it.
See, I was talking about this with Eric, the guy you fired today. I think Tennessee, and Tennessee never wants to admit this, but Tennessee looks down on Missouri, and I think they are becoming far more a rivalry than Arkansas is. Arkansas is a forced rivalry that had a little bit of fire because of the Mike Anderson thing. But Eric Beisel tried. He came out, the whole thing, and every time they play Arkansas, he came out with that video this year, and, he went out and did all this talking. Okay, it's just very forced. Rivalries can't be forced. You can't say, hey, you, hate that person. Now throw some punches. You ever walked into a bar and said, hey, you and you fight? They would just look at each other confused.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to talk about something else. Actually, right now, all that needs to happen for them to ignite the football rivalry is Barry Odom needs to turn on a video that says punch an Arkansas fan. Because if Barry Odom tells me to do something, I'm doing it. I'm running through a wall for Barry Odom. So actually, you're not going to punch somebody you have no reason to. If Barry Odom tells me right now, I actually might.
All right. That's fair. I love
that. That's how we get the Arkansas rivalry going right there.
I'm telling you this. It is a far more natural rivalry. Ben Fred pointed this out about midseason. Missouri has dominated Tennessee. Obviously not in basketball this year. They're the best team in the country. But in football, they have smoked Tennessee, and in basketball, they've been right there with them, and they beat them on their home court in women's basketball this year, what is supposed to be historically, maybe the second-best program of all time. That's a real rivalry. Like, Tennessee and Missouri actually don't like each other. Right? We can get into this, and we're going to momentarily. Barry Odom called out Tennessee specifically for trying to poach his seniors and says they're calling every single day to try to get his guys. And he said, yeah, Tennessee, that team we beat 51-17? They're trying to steal all of our players. That's a real rivalry. Arkansas is just not. Arkansas is like, and maybe when they get better and then there's there's something there. It's just not there right now. But I'm telling you, there's more there for Tennessee than there is Arkansas.
I had to walk out.
Yeah.
I never heard an answer to my question. Is it just me, or do you enjoy watching Mizzou beat Arkansas on anything?
I kind of went into that. Arkansas, to me, I like seeing Mike Anderson lose.
I just said that I had to walk out, so mm-hmm. I didn't hear what you had to say. So I know that you didn't. I didn't hear what you said. You know what you said. I didn't hear. So why don't you just say what you said so that I understand what you said, giving me an answer to what I asked before you said it.
So it's like that time that Obama sent out the Navy SEALs. Okay, very similar to that. I think that Mike Anderson losing is enjoyable. I don't care. Arkansas football is irrelevant to me. Arkansas, anything else, they're pretty good baseball, but they're kind of irrelevant.
Because I think Arkansas is much more of a potential issue for Missouri than you understand.
No, I don't disagree with that.
They're, back in the day, Arkansas used to come in here and take the best players out of the state of Missouri on a regular basis.
I don't disagree with
Haven't forgiven him for
and
BJ
down
Young,
the
honestly.
Road, maybe that's going to be an issue. Today, though, Arkansas is really bad at football. Maybe Chad Morris will turn that around. They're average at basketball. That's who they're going to be at basketball under Mike Anderson. He can't really recruit, and he runs a system that's kind of it mitigates his exposure in recruiting because he doesn't have the top athletes, and he gets you running, so it's not so much about talent. It's about want to. And so I don't think they're ever going to get over the top doing that either. They're just kind of whatever. I brought up Tennessee. Ben Fred pointed out earlier this year, Barry Odom right now is stroking the fire. There's a real rivalry there. Historically,
stoking or stroking?
Stoking.
Yes, it's stoking.
Thank you.
Yes.
I've pulled a Hadley.
Billington. Go ahead.
Billington.
32.
Stoking the fire. So anyway, let's get into that now. Dennis Dodd, who I'm hoping to have on maybe tomorrow. I think he may actually be flying down to the meetings down in their coaches' meetings today down in Birmingham, Alabama for the SEC. But he wrote an article recently, as in yesterday, with the title is Barry Odom Frustrated with Rival SEC Coaches Trying to Poach Missouri Seniors After the Bowl Ban. And there are some money quotes here. I enjoy this one quite a bit. Odom singled out Tennessee as the most frequent caller for the players. He says, quote, everybody's going to have their bad day. You combine that with somebody who we beat 51-17 this year, Tennessee? Yeah, those guys. They are nonstop reaching out daily saying, hey, come here. While the grass is not always greener somewhere else. I love Odom. Odom has done something that I think is brilliant. He has figured out in this situation that most objective people agree with him. That Missouri got screwed. Most people look and say there's no precedent for this. They should have been rewarded for their exemplary cooperation. Most people are on this side. And so that's going to allow me some extra. I just got a text from Dennis Dodd, actually. He is not available to come on today. We'll see if he can come on tomorrow. That is allowing him some extra leeway to jump out. And so because people think it's unfair that Missouri has this bowl ban in the first place, now when people are poaching his players, he can come out and single them out individually, even though it's not against NCAA rules. This is even as of 1992, this is fine. They created a rule that Dennis Dodd points this out in his article, that legislation exists to allow athletes with remaining eligibility to transfer without sitting out. This has been around for a long time. But because Odom recognizes that people agree with him here, he can single out individual schools and everybody else and say, this is ridiculous. And most of us kind of say, yeah, he's kind of right.
I would just like for him to tag it, preface it, stroke it and stoke it, and just say, you know what? We screwed up. We have to pay the price. Unfortunately, it appears we're having to pay a much heftier price than logic would suggest. But I would just like for him at some point in time to also admit that the university screwed up. Because it's like anything else. You know, you go into a rough place and someone robs you. It doesn't mean that it's your fault that you got robbed. But you set yourself up by entering into that area. The NCAA may have reached too far, overreacted, too sternly penalized, but if Missouri had not put themselves in that position, then there'd be nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I think both Jim Sterling, maybe they haven't done a great job of this publicly because the other comments have been much louder reported. But I think both of them have acknowledged that they are not asking for the sanctions to be completely gone. They're asking for a reasonable reduction. And I think the thing that he's most frustrated about is this, as it relates to the poaching. And I'm speaking for him, but this is mostly my opinion. It's that when you, like right now, baseball and softball are under the same, they each had one player who participated in any sport, any competition while they were should have been ineligible based on this. But because, similar to like when Molina gets into it with an ump and they suspend him for a game, when he appeals, it's like the suspension never happened until it's decided one way or another. But Missouri right now, and that is true for baseball and softball. And those two teams, if they make the postseason right now, well, this is going to drag out up to a year. 6 months to a year is Jim Sterk's idea. That is his estimate. But the one thing that doesn't change for Missouri is that the transfers can still go. So even if everything were to be overturned, they could lose half their senior class just based on, well, we handed it to you at one point. That's what he's most frustrated about. Well, what if they do get everything reduced? What if the bowl ban is overturned, in which case none of these seniors should be eligible to leave? But instead, you've said, well, they can just in case. It turns out we're right in the first place. You screwed us to begin with, and now half my senior class is gone in what was otherwise going to be a special year. That's why he's frustrated.
Well, there's an old saying. You make your bed, you have to lay in it.
Well, he didn't make this bet either. That's the other frustrating thing. This didn't happen when he was here.
And this isn't the person he brought
to
the dance.
Did I ever say Odom? Or have I not been saying Missouri did this, Missouri did that? When did I ever say Odom?
Yeah. We can get into the specifics about all this, too, because nobody that is at Missouri right now, I mean, Missouri is made up of the people, and nobody that was there ever did any of this stuff.
That's 100% true. But this is the way it's always been done, which is why I find these things to be even more heinous. I mean, when some moron comes out 10 years later and says, I took money from a place, it's probably the most selfish, horrible thing that an athlete can do after the fact. Because if it does lead to penalties, you've just screwed a group of people that were just kids
right, when
you yourself were breaking the rules. I love guys who come out and talk about how they were wronged by breaking rules and profiting from it. That's the amazing thing I find out about this stuff, is that, and then the media just sits there and plays along with it.
Yeah, on the look back, the media does a very poor job. I said yesterday, this, I think you were on at that point, the North Carolina, or sorry, the Duke, Corey Maggette thing, where they're like, they're going to investigate a rape from 1999? Why?
Well, and the biggest problem is, are you going to tell me that nobody knew about this in 1999?
Right.
Or heard rumors? Got
right.
A whiff.
Yeah, I think you hit it there.
You were a successful college athlete, close to your coaching staff.
Borderline.
At a state university that you had connections with. How many things really go undiscussed?
Well, it's hard to say because
even if it's just in the locker room amongst the boys, at the dorms, amongst coaches, amongst alumni, how many things really go undiscussed of significance?
So I think Missouri.
Are you going to tell me that no player on Duke heard about?
I'm sure he did. Here's the one thing I would say about Missouri where I think Missouri could be the outlier on this. There are so many people at Mizzou.
I'm saying in reference to Maggette. Not in reference to Maggette. Try.
I'm trying, but here's
boys,
what I'm telling you.
I go 190 miles an hour.
Roll
I'm on the
here on this. I'm trying to tell you
get
that my experience would not be the same as other people because in a different town in Tuscaloosa, Gary Pinkel's not going home in a police car. He's going home with a police escort when he's drank too much wine. But because the police understand this is the media capital of the world for growing talent and everybody's trying to get a story to get their big break, they can't operate under the same way that you would in Tennessee, in Alabama, in Florida. Everybody at Missouri is okay. trying to get their own story. So I'm telling you my experience.
To the Duke story.
That's fine. But you're asking me, so you're like, at Missouri, you asked me specifically, did this happen? And I'm telling you it couldn't happen there differently.
Well, no, here's the difference, and then answer the question.
Well, I'm trying, but you keep interrupting.
Because basically you're saying everywhere else they do except for Missouri.
I think that's
because
true.
Because Missouri is such a special, social place that should never be penalized by the NCAA, no matter the fact that they broke the rules.
I think at other places where the media is not such a big deal, they get away with a lot more. I mean, that's totally true. I think there are a ton of people who are in J school who need a big story. So in Columbia, and the police are well aware of it, you can't get away with the same stuff.
Do you know how you rectify this problem? In all seriousness?
Go 12-0.
No, you rectify this problem with past digressions being paid for in current dollars. So the AD or the coach at the time winds up having to pay a penalty. The athlete who was involved with the indiscretions has to pay back a scholarship.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, the point of the matter is, if you retroact and penalize those who were the participants, that will go a long way. Because, see, murder raps don't go away. You have a long time to investigate a murder.
Mm-hmm.
You steal someone's truck out of their driveway, you could probably get away with that for the rest of your life.
They probably will.
So, I mean, there are, you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So if I steal someone's truck out of their driveway, I'm not worried about where the cops are looking for me 5 years later.
Right.
If I murder somebody, I know that I have to look over my shoulder the rest of my life. If athletes know that they're held culpable for an eternity, if school executives / administration and coaches realize they're culpable. If a booster is cut from the program 20 years later for something, if they realize that there's no limitations, a lot of that stuff will go away.
Speaking of, Papa John showed up in Kentucky where yesterday.
Fraud.
So I do want to say this, too. One more piece
did
of all
he
this.
Really?
He did. And
how
then,
pathetic
and then Kentucky
is that?
Lost LSU.
In like a first three row seat, which makes me want to think what Kentucky donor sold his ticket to Papa John Shatner, and I think he should be dragged through the streets of
once again
Lexington?
You can debate whether or not there was overreaction. You can debate interpretation of what he said. You can debate all that, but he's a businessman who knows under the circumstances Louisville had no option other than to cut ties. There was not another option, TJ. Because in this politically correct world where the media attacks, despite facts, attacks, Louisville would have just been under scrutiny day after day after day after day.
So I wonder if you handle that like Sarah Huckabee Sanders does. What happens? Where she just says, yeah, I've discussed that already, and you move on. I wonder at some point, because I think you're right, the media is relentless, but there are so many crazy stories that happen all the time, eventually you've got to lose interest. I wonder if somebody at some point says, look, we don't agree with what he said, that was stupid. He's our biggest donor, he's done a lot of good for us, and he helps legitimately thousands of kids go to school every single year. We're not going to take away the good because he said something stupid.
Again, that's a pie in the sky, rose-colored glasses, cherry-picking idea. Can't do it in today's world.
What do you think would happen if you did?
I think they would just be destroyed. You would have minority groups making them the center of attention and the classic example of what they perceive to be this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, could be. I do want to talk about one last part.
No, I guarantee you it would be.
Yeah, one last part.
Why would you debate that contention?
Is that Odom brought up a really good point. He said, you know, they wanted to make this a one-year thing because that's their way of saying this is not, you know, we could have made it 3 years. We made it 1 year. But because they did it in one single year and they gave them a scholarship reduction of 5%, which is for for scholarships, and they did it in a single year. That means kids that have already signed, been recruited, and or are on the team in scholarship now actually lose their scholarship. Instead of if you do it over a multi-year plan, you just say, so you can't recruit those kids in the future. So Odom's contention is, you're telling me that four kids on my roster that I have already promised will have a scholarship and have everything taken care of, and they have earned it and done nothing wrong because some idiotic tutor did some homework for a few irresponsible guys, that they are going to go each $25,000 into debt. You're telling me that's okay?
Say it again.
It's undoubtedly the worst. I mean, the fact of the matter is the NCAA finds ways to not only punish kids who weren't involved by taking away
what
the kids who are still on the team.
What are they supposed to do?
Not take away scholarships from kids that currently have them.
Yes.
Can take away future scholarships. I'd be more fine with that.
Well, why not have the guilty parties have to pay for those scholarships?
No, I'm totally with you. I don't disagree with any of what you said before. If you're going to punish current people, don't punish the ones that already have something promised to them.
Everybody blames the NCAA. NCAA supposed to say, okay, well, Missouri, you know what? You're Missouri, so never mind. We're not going to do anything.
That's what they did to Auburn and...
I think it would make more sense to fine the offending institution a larger amount and allow them to then still and then you have them use money on scholarships still. I think any way you can penalize the institution that allows these things to happen instead of punishing, like we're saying, future kids who are coming to the who and
I'm even more
I'm
fine
saying,
with
no,
future
no,
kids.
I,
you just cannot
talking,
under any circumstances
saying,
punish a current
saying,
kid.
I'm saying overall any future kids from when the actual offense happens. Kids who weren't involved or even on campus then, which now
but
in
least,
this sense
at
comes
least
into
kids
players
that
who are there
haven't
right
been
now.
Promised a scholarship yet don't even know they're being punished, right? Maybe you would have been that 22nd spot. But you can't have a kid who was already recruited, happens to be a junior, and you're like, sorry, bro, we don't have a scholarship. The NCAA said no.
Here's the problem.
Listen, Mizzou, you had an unbelievable amount of fundraising last year. Maybe not a $5,000 fine.
Here's the problem.
Maybe $150,000 fine.
Here's the problem. We want to use 1%. This term kids, and we want to point that to, too. Young student-athletes and everything else. Well, who caused the problem?
Yolanda Kumar and the list of names that I cannot tell you she did or did
so
not
the
tell the truth about.
Student-athletes weren't culpable for accepting her assistance?
I just said that. And the group of list of athletes that I don't want to say the names of in case it's not actually them.
We like to say, oh, these poor young kids are being penalized. Well, they're being penalized for the action of young, poor kids.
Okay, but it's still independent of each other.
No, it's not.
It's just, if you do something dumb, I shouldn't be punished for it.
No, you shouldn't. But stop using student athletes as, oh, these young, poor, innocent kids.
Well, the ones we're talking about are young, poor, innocent kids. We're not talking about the ones that screwed us over.
Exactly, but they did.
That's a separate conversation. No. I'm not discussing them. They're the ones that should have done what they did.
But you keep blaming the NCAA. It's not the NCAA. It's those same kids.
Well, the NCAA did not have to do what they did under their own precedent. So that's why they're getting blamed. I think there's blame to go around everywhere. The NCAA certainly deserves a lot of it. They've not done this in the past. So that's why it's being appealed so difficult. And there's a conflict of interest with Carol Cartwright, who was on the committee with Condoleezza Rice, who's trying to redo all the new enforcements. She's actually on the infractions committee trying to hand down harsher penalties to set a new precedent. That's a conflict of interest.
They should set down more penalties.
Well, you can't be on the committee.
If people truly knew the sleaze that goes on in college.
Well, they're about to. The FBI investigation's ongoing.
I mean, the sleaze that goes on is just incredible. That's why I'm taking umbrage with those who like to throw out, oh, poor young student athletes. It's poor young student athletes that's the problem. It's a combination of poor athletes.
Some of them, but not the ones that are being punished.
How do you change it? You shouldn't penalize the team. If you don't catch them in the next number of years, they can't be penalized?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Then how do you do it?
Well, you already brought up a reason that you would do it. What I'm telling you is, the way you most certainly, the worst way to do
it. Don't tell me what the worst way is. Give me an alternative.
Well, there is a way that they already do it that's not nearly as bad as the way that they do it now. I still don't like it, but I'm telling you that you cannot under any circumstances take an innocent kid and steal his scholarship because of the sins of somebody 10 years ago. That's ridiculous.
How do you do it then?
You can take away future scholarships and say you just can't recruit those guys. A guy that, look at me. if I decide to go to Missouri and I have 9 other offers, but I end up at Missouri and it's not going so well, I'm just a freshman or a sophomore, maybe I would have transferred, I don't know, but it's already, I've come out, I've not done too much. I could have gone to Nebraska, or I could have gone to K-State, or I could have gone to Louisville, and I would have kept my scholarship. But because some idiot allowed Yolanda Kumar to do their homework 5 years prior to me, now I lose $25,000 per year.
Unless you go to Murray State.
What?
Transfer to
maybe. What if they don't want you?
You're going to tell me that a player on Missouri's roster doesn't have a shot at getting an FCS?
And you're telling me that's not a punishment? FCS doesn't give out full scholarships anyway.
No. If the whole premise, what?
I think FCS gives out percentages typically, or a certain amount. They don't have 85. And so
they don't have 85, but they give out scholarships.
Why don't they give out? But do they give out full scholarships typically?
I want to say 54.
And don't they divide, like in baseball, they divide those
up? Football and basketball is their baseball and non-revenue sports, they do. I mean,
so they don't divide them.
In fact, if I remember correctly, because I knew a girl who played soccer at Notre Dame, I want to say that there are actually like quarter scholarships.
Oh, yeah.
They can give you 25% of a scholarship.
Yes, that's how they do it at Mizzou with soccer.
Theoretically, 3 other people.
That's right.
Get another 25%. But my point
is, I was under the impression that happened at FCS level as well.
No.
Okay.
No.
Either way, it's still a punishment, right? Telling me I have to go down to a lower level in order to play because you stole my scholarship is kind of ridiculous.
Yes, but if you're not playing, you're not losing your scholarship at Missouri.
Sure I am.
Unless you're low on the totem pole.
Yes, but the way
So then it comes down to education. And if you want to get your education, then you look for options.
Yeah, but look, Michael Agnew became an All-American after having 7 catches in his first 2 years. There's a lot of guys don't pop until later. If you would have asked me after my freshman year, seeing Michael Agnew play as a sophomore, hardly be able to fully function, he just didn't have it yet, he would have been one of the guys that you took off scholarship. He wasn't contributing, and then he was an All-American the next year. That's obviously the outlier, but there are a lot of guys that contribute later on in their career and didn't do much as a freshman and sophomore.
There's outliers in everything, but that doesn't mean they should be disconsidered.
So
from the discussion, the point of the matter is, it's like anything else in this world. If you don't have a proposed solution, then you're part of the problem.
No, my proposed solution is to never allow under any circumstances to steal scholarships from guys that currently have them.
Well,
that's the proposed solution. That should be a rule written in concrete.
I'd also like to hear what the NCAA is.
But you're tending to forget to tell the people that that's already possible.
What do you mean? What is already
scholarships done? Are renewed annually?
Yeah, but they've gone away from that. A lot of them now.
Scholarships are still renewed annually.
Yeah, but
coaches can and do, in particular when there's coaching changeovers, get rid of players on the team. So it already happens.
I understand, and that's a dirty part of stuff that you could look at anyway. But what they've gone to largely, and I think most schools are doing
look
it
what
now,
Herm Edwards did
is
there,
4-year
State.
Scholarships. Where you actually have them when you sign up, it is a 4-year scholarship and not a single yearly.
Look what Herm Edwards did with Arizona State.
I know when new coaches come in all the time. I've been on the impression if a coach wants to do that, you can argue maybe they should be able to. I don't agree. I think if you want to sign up, you shouldn't be able to do that. But under this is where you have
I don't
to give
agree
some,
either. I'm just pointing out that it does happen.
I know, but you're pointing out another wrong when I tell you something's wrong, right? So don't tell me it should be justified because something else
again,
is stupid.
I'm not justifying. I'm saying it already happens. You make it sound like This should never happen because it never happens. No, it
no
happens
I'm not making
year.
It sound like that. I'm saying it happens, and it's happening right now, and it's ridiculous. It should be written in stone that you can't do this.
You are raising my blood pressure.
That's your heartbeat. That's not your blood pressure.
My heartbeat. You've taken it from 180 to 212.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm kidding.
We got to get a break. We'll be back in a minute. It's Hardline.